All right, the shiur tonight is sponsored by Cheryl and Elliot Small, Le'ili Nishmas Shalom David Ben Nachum Elio Halevi. That's Elliot's father on his 28th yard site. Tainish Maso Tzura B'Tzor Chaim. I thank the Small family for their sponsorship. So tonight's topic is the Piyutim of Rosh Hashanah. In past years we've discussed how tefillah operates. How tefillah works in terms of the Yom Noraim, and generally, tonight is really, I want to focus on something, but give this brief introduction. The Yom Noraim reinforced to us the gift of tefillah, because that's certainly most of what we do in shul, is davening. And the length of the tefillahs, the number of tefillahs, the time we dedicate to tefillah, it's increased during this time of year. Slichos are longer this week, Rosh Hashanah the davening is longer, slichos Aseres Metshuva are longer than they are this week, and of course the davening on Yom Kippurim is the longest of the year, a full day. So to think of the Yom Noraim, we have to think first of tefillah. After all, that's why we come to shul. Now, we know that to petition the Supreme Court of the United States, Lahavdil, one needs standing. Standing is, you have to have some involvement in the case, some relationship to the issues at hand. It's really true here. We should ask ourselves, what standing do we have? Because when we come to shul any day, and certainly on the Yom HaDin, the first thing that we should recognize is that it's mind-boggling that we're given the right, as mortal man and woman, to stand before God, the creator of the universe. It's something that we take for granted, because we do it so often, and yet it's astounding. I mean, so astounding that David HaMelech mentioned it, Moinosh Kisus Kerenu. Who is a man that you're mindful of him? So it's one level that God is even mindful of man, that he's interested in man's affairs. It's the second level that he gives us the right, and on some level the obligation to stand before him in tefillah. And not just stand before him in tefillah, but know that God is a shomea tefillah, that he listens to our tefillos as well. We have the right and the obligation to stand before him with praise, and with gratitude, and with petitions as well. Strange, because who are we really? We think that we grow from year to year. We hope that we do. We hope that we've eradicated some of the sins of the past, but often they're replaced by current sins. And from year to year, certainly no one has the ability to say that, I'm happy, I'm confident. Snap judgment. I can't wait for Hashem to come because I know my din is satisfactory. I don't think anybody has that. The paradox is, the greater the tzaddik, the less he has that feeling of security. The simple people who don't think and don't care as much, that to them Rosh Hashanah is about the new clothing and the new fruit and nothing else. But tefillah, of course, is much more than that. And to recognize what tefillah is, I saw beautiful Rabbeinu Yonah, David HaMelech in Kapitel Nun Aleph, which is the parak that is devoted to his anguish after the sin of Bathsheba, severe, and he says the famous pasuk Hashem svasai tiftach ufi agiti losecho, which we preface every Shmoneh Esrei. God svasai tiftach, open my lips and let my mouth relate your praise. So David HaMelech was lamenting his sin, but he was also stunned at what tefillah is, because we know that tefillah is b'mokom karbon. Tefillah comes in place of the karbonos, of the sacrificial offerings. And yet Rabbeinu Yonah says in Perek Aleph of Avos, in Mishnah Beis, al Torah Avodah, Gvinus Chasodim, he says this on Avodah, one of the pillars of the world, that tefillah is better than karbon, because karbon ain mevi and karbon alas donos. We don't have a concept of bringing a karbon for a sin committed intentionally. A karbon chatos is for an aver b'shogeg, something you did negligently, unintentionally. But to commit a sin intentionally, willfully, there is no karbon for that. And yet, tefillah can be recited, whether one is a sinner b'shogeg, or one is a sinner b'mezeg. And we can gain kapara through tefillah. Tshuva tefillah tzedaka mavir nisra gzeira. Tefillah operates in a way that karbon does not. Karbon is limited to shogeg. Tefillah operates both in terms of shogeg and in terms of mezeg as well. So tefillah is better. And when David HaMelech realized that we can be mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we are mezidim, intentional, willful sinners, That's when he said, Hashem Sfasai Tiftoch Ufi Agiti L'Secha. Open my lips so I'll be able to partake of this institution of tefillah. What I want to do tonight is just look at some of the themes of the davening on Rosh Hashanah, and we'll see how they are reflected in some of the piyutim that we recite. There are a number of themes. Some of them are familiar, some will be less familiar. The basic theme with which we enter the davening at all times, certainly Slichas, as I mentioned, Matzai Shabbos, is our unworthiness. That we can't escape. Therein lies the paradox I described a few moments ago. We're just not worthy to stand before Kadosh Baruch Hu. L'chashem hatzdaka v'lonu boshes aponim. So you find interspersed in the tefillos, in many of the piyutim, references to our unworthiness, our frailty, our failures as people, our insincerity, our inability to stand before God, our willful neglect of everything that's holy in the world. We pile it on because, in fact, we are neglectful and we don't measure up to the standards the Torah sets, even if we try our best. So again, there are gradations and people are on different levels. But it's our basic unworthiness with which we begin every tefillah. And there, in fact, is the opening to Chazaras HaShatz. It's on page 306. Yoresi biftzosi siach lashfil. The Shatz stands on our behalf, and he says, I'm frightened, as I open my mouth to bring forth these tefillos. Frightened. What's the fear? One, because he and we are sinful. And two, because he and we lack the wisdom, lack the understanding, even to know how to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore you find here also references to the dearth of knowledge that we have. Not only the katonti mas l'chein aschil, not only that we're short of deeds, and that's why we're afraid, but tevuno chasarti, we're lacking understanding. We're lacking wisdom. So ve'echochil, if we don't have worthiness in terms of deeds, and we don't have worthiness in terms of intellect, so then we're really in trouble. And if we're in trouble, so where then do we turn? And that's why standing before God at this moment is frightening. And as the Paitan references very well, u'me'emas hadin nafshi tavchil. Meimas hadin, from the fear, the dread of the judgment, my soul shakes, shudders. Meimas hadin nafshi tavchil. Inter alia. Do we have emas hadin, the dread of judgment? I'm sure some do, some don't. I mean, if there's any day of the year, any days of the year, we should try to get the shul on time. It's the yom hadin. That's the Emes Hadin. It means the davening starts, whenever it starts, at 7:45, 8:00. The person walks in 8:30, walks in 9:00. It's lacking an Emes Hadin. What happens to a person who the trial starts at 9:30 and they saunter in at 10:30? Judge issues a bench warrant. It's contempt of court. So especially on the Yom Hadin, a person should be very careful to come to shul on time, to participate fully. That itself is a reflection of Emes Hadin. So now in this introductory tefillah, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to act not just based on our state, but with another theme that recurs in the davening, and that's L'man Shmecha. That we ourselves are unworthy. And rarely do you find, yeah, it happens sporadically, but rarely do you find consistently there are defenses mounted on behalf of our spiritual state. That we're this, we're that, we're elevated, we're lofty. No, you never find that. Exactly opposite. Only references to our sinfulness, and therefore we ask that God should save us as a nation and as individuals, l'man shmecha, for the sake of your name. What does that mean? The sake of your name means that God has a broader plan for civilization, as he outlined in the Torah that he gave to us. So therefore, we may not be inherently worthy of salvation because of our deeds. Yet, if we're part of that system of Shem Hashem, then save us because we're part of that system which brings sanctification to your name. That, in fact, is the methodology that we have developed in order to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody comes, nobody should come on the Yom HaDin and say, here I am, I have nothing to fear, I just clap a little and we'll be on our way for next year. Everybody comes with an Emas HaDin that's real. It's not fake. It's not contrived. It's an Emas HaDin because we know what's expected of us. And we know how we fall short. And we know that we really can't mount a defense. I mean, we all say the Ashamnus and the Achetz, and it has a certain familiarity to us. So again, not everybody commits every chait. I mean, there's not enough time in the day to commit every chait in the Achetz. But for sure, we partake of them somehow during the year, and we tend to fail in some areas more than in other areas. But as a klal, it certainly applies to all of us. So there's no defense. There's no defense in pleading not guilty, nor is there any real defense in pleading guilty. The defense is admitting, in fact, that we are frail creatures, but do not save us for our sake, but because we are part of your greater plan. What then gives us the right to daven? Chasdei Hashem. It's just God's compassion, God's kindness. That's, again, it's always amazing. So this does not only apply to the Yom Ha'Ra'im. It applies to the whole year. You think about what it means to come. It's Chasdei Hashem. So how could a person not appreciate that? How could a person not recognize the moment you walk into a shul, that it's a different place? Without cell phones and social chatter and conversation, that's the world outside. But inside is the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, carved out for us. Kivesi Ves Tilo. That should be our place in which we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. To realize that is at the heart of Tfilah. By the way, Agav Urcha, that is something. The phrase that we know from the Navi, because it's Haftarah on Taini Sibur, Ki Vesi Ves Tfilah Yikorei L'chol Ha'amim. Not Ki Vesi Ves Tfilah Yikorei L'chol Ha'amim. Just look at the truck in the Navi, you'll see. There's a difference in meaning also. My house is called a house of prayer. Defined as a house of prayer. L'chol ha'amim, for everybody. It's not called a house of prayer for everybody. It's defined first as a house of prayer. This is what it is. But to say means that my house is a house of prayer, and however the nations want to call it in their own way, they can. No. My house is called a house of prayer. God tells us how we should worship Him. That's the Chol Ha'amim. Ultimately, all the nations will join in. So the Chazanim in the audience, be mindful. Oh. So it's the Chasdei Hashem. What else is it? What gives us the right to stand? Zchus Avos. Zchus Avos means that's the system of Aseh Laman Shemecho. God created a system through the Avos, and therefore we stand in their place. And that's why the end of Yoresi says, Tzedakah kaveh mimcha v'alchil, I hope and expect righteousness from you. Yosher horai zachra l'achil. Yosher horai, you should recall the uprightness of horai, of my parents, of my forefathers, as a source of strength to us. And that's why, of course, it all comes in the bracha of Avos. So that's Zchus Avos. The Chasdei Hashem and the Zchus Avos conflate to allow us to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because without that, we really can't. Now, of course, all these are prefaced with Misod Chachamim Unevonim. Misod is a little paragraph which essentially states the same thing. Umilemedas Mevinim. That we're just basing ourselves on the tradition of the Chachamim. And the teaching derived from the knowledge of those who are Mevinim, those who understand. That we ourselves not only cannot formulate the Tfilos, but we're really not worthy of articulating their thoughts. We're not. We have no standing. But because they said them, and they had a closer relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore we're allowed to say it as well. We would never formulate in these brachos our own Tfilos. That's why you find that in Avos, and in Gvuros, there's really no room for any type of elaboration, any amplification on our part, as opposed to the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, which you find, for example, on Yom HaKippurim, which is greatly elongated to allow for Slichos and Al-Chayt, etc. That's in the middle bracha of Yom HaKippurim. Now, the petitions that we utilize, those piyutim, were drafted by Chachamim Unavonim. The truth is, and I hate to harp on this, but it's really at the core of why we come to Davin and our mindset when we come to Davin. This notion of our unworthiness is something which we can bandy about, but in fact it's far too unpleasant for people to ponder, unless they're just very haughty or they're very unrealistic. But most people don't want to think that they're unworthy. Yeah, they paid good money for seats and they want to Davin. It's a chiyuv to Davin. They have to come. So why should they think there's anything wrong with what they're doing? But there is something that's unusual. It has to strike us as almost unnatural that the Borei Olam created us and we sinned. We betrayed him. Hashamnu is betrayed. Bagadnu. Bagadnu is literally betrayed us. And yet he wants to hear from us. It's from that tefillah. And he gives us an opening to return. So if people really don't have that thought, then in fact it probably harms the enjoyment of the davening. It's a strange thing that if we recognize our unworthiness and the great gift that God gave us, then in fact we can benefit more because now we're utilizing the gift. If though we convince ourselves that we should be here, that we should be here, so why am I sitting in shul for 5 hours? I said my piece and let me go home. So in fact it's our recognition of our state, our real state, that enables us to enjoy the davening more. The Ema Sadin, keep in mind, is not guilt. It's not a question of guilt, nor is it a question of fear of punishment. The Ema Sadin is a recognition that there's a higher means of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now we've fallen short. That is to say, we're off the track. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the means to get back on the track. From that perspective, Rosh Hashanah is a day of Simcha. So you find a Machlokas in the Rishonim, the Rosh, in fact, brings it down, that he says at least one should say v'hasiyenu chaim l'shalom v'simcha l'sasam on Rosh Hashanah as well. We don't pass them like that, but the Rosh said to say such a thing. How is Rosh Hashanah a day of simcha? Because you get a gift, you're happy. We have the gift of tefillah, the gift of the Yom HaDin. God has given us a petach, an opening to come before him. So what greater gift do we have than that? Now, of course, that's the basic notion of Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin. Shofar is a means of tefillah on the Yom HaDin as well. We relate to God on this day primarily as a shofet. God's aspect of being a shofet, a judge, is one key aspect of Malchus. That's where you note the slight shift when Shachris, our Shachris begins, HaMelech. So we say HaMelech HaYoshev Al Kisaron V'Niso. Except on the Yemei Din, HaMelech Yoshev. Want to practice with a jacket? HaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa, as if he's sitting. So philosophically it's a complex point because God is above time. What does it mean he's sitting now? Well, time is irrelevant to God. He's beyond time. But Yoshev in present tense is something we recognize. We recognize this moment as a moment of Din. And in fact, God has declared it to be a moment of Din. So therefore, HaMelech Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa. And many of our standard brachos, I don't want to get sidetracked, you know, in the Shemoneh Esrei, are all reworded or rephrased to reflect this aspect of Malchus, this aspect of Mishpat, so that we'll return to. And of course, the basic themes of Musaf, of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofros, Malchias, God's kingship, and Zichronos, his remembrance, meaning his providence, and Shofaros, meaning his Gilui Shechina, the fact that he revealed himself to Klal Yisrael, that's not only a theme in Musaf, we'll see it's a theme in Shachris as well. So let's move on to the next piyut and the next theme, because
thank you.
What's very interesting is that, you know, as I was a trial lawyer, and you spend most of the time as a trial lawyer during trials trying to weaken the evidence of the prosecution, present your own case. But in fact, you don't find any of that in the tefillah. Most of the tefillahs don't even relate to us. Most. They relate to us generally, but there's no specific reference at all on Rosh Hashanah, even to our sinfulness, except in a general sense. There's not even a vehicle that we're given You need to ask for anything. You know, people come to Rosh Hashanah, they're davening for life and for health and for parnasa. You look at the davening, it almost doesn't make reference to it, except tangentially. V'chosveinu b'sefer chayim. So, b'sefer chayim tovim. But those things are additions. They're not the heart of the tefillah. In the heart of the tefillah, the piyutim that we say on the Yomim Noraim, there's almost no reference we make to personal petitions. Because in fact, as we noted even last year, we discussed this inyan, the essence of tefillah is always Shevach Hashem, praise of God. And tefillah becomes just a mechanism, or really our needs become a mechanism that enables us to stand before God in tefillah. The essence of tefillah is Chochmah, so Tmuna Chasarti is a great chisaron. If we're lacking wisdom, we're lacking discernment, it impairs not only the quality of our tefillah, but the whole purpose of the tefillah. But our obligation of tefillah primarily, as we stand before God, is to gain a knowledge of God. When we gain a knowledge of God, we have a deeper connection. We're better servants of God, because we understand His will better. That is why almost all the piyutim, in one way or another, are Shavachai Hashem, their praise of God. Look at page 314. The first little piyut that we say on both Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, Ato Elokeinu Bashemayim Uvaretz, beginning Yimloch Hashem Leolam. So this, of course, is in Ato Elokeinu, you find Yisorei Adas. God is the creator. God is the Mashgiach, meaning He supervises man. He's interested in our lives. God is Echad, Achdus Hashem. God is eternal. He's beyond time. With the paradox that we live with and gives us hope. So he says, Yoshe Seiser, Kisra Yeshua, beautiful praises. Atzasa Amuna, Pulaso Emes, Tzadik V'Yashar. And now the only reference to us in the whole field. Korov L'Korov V'Emes. What a beautiful phrase inserted into that field. That God is not only all those things, beyond this world, the Creator, infinite, beyond description. Korov L'Korov V'Emes. He's close to those who call on Him in truth, who call on Him sincerely. And note, that being, who's Korov L'Korov V'Emes, is also Shochen Shechokim. He dwells in the heavens. He's also Tola Eretz Al-Balimo, which is such an interesting phrase from the Navi. It's from Eov. That the earth is suspended in nothingness. All right, it's a very sophisticated astronomical notion, because that in fact is true. What Eov wrote. Tol Eretz Al-Balimo, the earth, you look at the universe, the earth is suspended, it just hangs there. God is Tol Eretz Al-Balimo, and yet, He's Korv L'Korv Be'emes. So it's not just that we're reciting idle praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that any praise is ever idle. It's praise which is designed to deepen, to enrich our understanding of God. So therefore, we become more worthy of being in His presence and of being His servants. Chai v'kayam no remor v'kadosh. And then right away we start with Torah v'Sariah. We relate to God now through the shofar. And He should cancel our decrees as a result of our tilos. All right, so now you have a responsive reading, but I just want to focus on the piyutim. If you turn to page 328, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Li'olam Vod. This piyut, Adirei Ayumo, it proclaims the Malchus Hashem. The Malchus Hashem, not only as it exists, but as it existed and as it will exist. That even though, again, Chasdei Hashem, even though we have a personal relationship with the Creator of the world, nonetheless, we're not possessive or, in a sense, or arrogant enough in a sense to think that God's existence is dependent upon us. Hashem Moloch! God reigned before me. In fact, He reigned before the world was created, before the universe was created. And that God who's Moloch is also Melech. So He's my Melech. And after I'm gone, Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vod. Now, what the piyut proclaims, Adirei Ayuma Yadiru V'Kol, Bruei Varek Yivarchu V'Kol, is that there are two entities in creation that were created to serve and to extol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One entity are the Malachim, and the other entity are Klal Yisrael. Two entities. Amazing thought. Two entities. Angels, whom we don't really relate to at all except in our tefillos, and Klal Yisrael. So we really would not like other people. We have this, by the way, in the daily tefillah. Atagat kadosh v'shimcha kadosh, hu kidoshim b'chol yom yaluchas selah. Who are the kidoshim? Who every day praise God forever? The two interpretations. One is the malachim, we just recited their words, kadosh, 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 in the kedusha. The other kadoshim, the holy Jews, the Am Kadosh, that we're the kadoshim. So you have in creation these two entities created exclusively to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The difference, of course, is that the Malachim serve God completely, without any hesitation, faithfully, but without any bechira, without free choice, because they're created for that purpose. We Jews have the ability to serve God also completely and faithfully, but we have bechira. And because we have Bechira, so therefore our Bechira sometimes runs counter to what God's will is and to what we know the right thing is as well. As I go through this every year, but maybe we'll just explain a little more now. The Malachim always praise God sequentially. That's responsively. We say in the Brachos of Kriyat Shema, the Nosim Rishus Zelazeh. How do the Malachim pray? One says one phrase, and the other responds. It's responsive, literally, sequentially. Here, we're standing with the Malachim, and in place of the Malachim. And you find many of the Piyutim are recited in that way as well, even at Elokeinu, but certainly this one. And you see the way it's delineated in the Machzor. Adir Ayumi Adir Bekos. Everybody says, Hashem Elach, Hashem Elach, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Vod. That's the basic pasuk. Actually, not a pasuk, it's third circuit. But that's the basic idea we're enunciating. Adir ayumi adir v'kol is the prompt of the shatz to the kehila. The shatz says, adir ayuma, those with a powerful fear of God, so they'll call out loud powerfully. Al tzibur responds, Hashem melech. Burei varik yavarchu v'kol. Now the malachim, created from fire, they also bless. And the tzibur responds, Hashem melech. V'chulei. Not that you find everybody sings along, or as people say Hashem Melech, or quickly say Burei Vorki Vorki B'Kol, because that defeats the purpose of the tefillah. The purpose of the tefillah is to imitate the Malachim. We imitate the angels who act in a sequential manner, really polite manner. You say something, and I say something. Nostin Rishus, Zelo Zeh. So the shots, he prompts, and the others respond. Kiddush is the same way, by the way. The shot says, V'kar Zel Zeh V'Yamar, and the tzibur responds, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. All right? And then he says, l'umasam, facing each other, baruch yomeru, and the tzibur responds, baruch kvar Hashem imkamon. That's the way Kedush is phrased. But that's also been lost, at least on the Yom HaDin, we could try to recover, try to recapture the original method. All the tzibur does, and think about the idea, all the tzibur is asked to do, shatz to shatz, all the tzibur is asked to do is to keep proclaiming, Hashem Melech, next prompt, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, Le'olam Vod. If that's what the Tzibur says, that's the greatest affirmation of what the role of the Tzibur is in the Jewish people. That becomes our task, not just to find the correct or the enjoyable Nigunim, but to find the correct Nusach HaTfilah as well, so we can extract from it precisely the lessons that Chazal saw and wanted us to extract. We have a hard time, as you know, with responsive readings, because we're in a do-it-yourself world. Everybody wants to do everything. Everyone wants to do everything. But there's a place for it as well. So I have two sons-in-law now, Baruch Hashem. One is in the old school, so they're both Kohanim, so when he leads the benching, he just says the Birchas HaZimun, And then he just says the end of the brachos, as the common custom. My other son-in-law is Rabbi Chaitz Talmud, so he reads the whole benching, milo by milo, and we just listen in silence. We fulfill that minute. What a tolerant family we are. But that's part of a responsive reading that exists. You could be Yotze others. It's also something. That's how Jews are linked to. A Jew says a bracha, you need not say it. You answer amen to his bracha, Shomea, Keone, it's your bracha too. It's exactly the same as if you made it, he made it. And it's even better in the sense that now you have two people together praising Kadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to two people separately praising the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why you find, it's not as clear in the art school, but you remember the old time Machzorim always had the lines mismatched, right? That you had one phrase starting at the end of one line, and the next starting at the beginning of the next line. If you look at Lekel Arech Din, on page 330, so if you just remember the old Machzorim that I used when I grew up, it would say Lekel Arech Din, Levochem Levovos B'yom Din on one line, and the next line, Galamukos B'yom Badin. But Art Scroll changed it really to reflect the way we recite it, and not the way it is in actuality. Because this is also responsive. Lekel Arech Din, to God who arranges judgment, prepares man for judgment. And we say, Levochem Levovos B'yom Din. And then he says, Galamukos Badin, Ledover Mishurim B'yom Din. The Hola, and that's how it continues. Lekel Arech Din is an enunciation of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God's midos, God's attributes, in terms of zichronos, that he's involved, he's providential, he relates to man, he's compassionate. Notice, again, it's not a petition for anything. We're not asking for anything. We're just articulating these basic truths. It's an acknowledgement that God is Orech Din. The fact that we acknowledge God, that is not an introduction to the point of the tefillah. That is the point of the tefillah. To stand in acknowledgement of God, Lekel Orech Din. And as you see, it's not just as in the previous one. The God of creation, here it's the God who relates to us as individuals. He's Bochem Levavos, Dover Mishorim, he's Kovesh Kaso, he's Mochel Avonos, etc. So these concepts are inserted very subtly. So notice again, we're not asking for anything. But in our acknowledgement that God is one who pardons the people that he bears, Solech Amusov, Sfol Rachamov, our acknowledgement that that's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is what the tefillah is asking of us. And that is what the Yom HaDin is asking for us. Keep in mind, we've said this many times, that tshuva is not really part of the davening on Rosh Hashanah. The essence of the davening is Malchios. Malchios is the prelude to tshuva. You don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, so before whom will we do tshuva? So tshuva starts with Motzoi Rosh Hashanah. It starts before too. It's the Safas Lichos, Rosh Chodesh Elul. God is Rotzei B'Shuva, so a person can be a Shav all the time. But let's say we have Hachana for the Yom HaDin. That Shuva, that process is really suspended come Rosh Hashanah, and we embark on a different quest, an acknowledgement of God as the Melech and all that that entails. Now the Piyut Melech Elyon, we say in Musaf on the first day, and we say in Shacharis on the second day. All right? So if you just turn now to page 478. Melech Elyon. God is the supreme king. So you have in all these, and it's similar, although different phraseology on day two of Shacharis. God's Malchus, God is creator, God is Mashkiach, God is eternal. So what's the point? Melech Elyon. All this and all these very sublime praise of Kadosh Baruch Hu drawn from the works of the Nevi'im and from Tehillim, all of these recognize and state that God is the Melech Elyon. We live with a fantasy of immortality. We think we're immortal. We think nothing's going to happen to us because being egocentric, we only know our lives and ourselves. The world revolves around us. So most people, this I'm not saying, greater people have said, most people really have no hasaga of what the world was before then, how it survived until today without them. It's like most people can't really imagine a world without them. How will the world go on? All right, it's a certain humility, the world will go on, etc. But most people can't imagine a world without them, without themselves. That is the sense of immortality, of greatness, which leads man astray. Who's the contrast to the Melech Elyon? So the whole piyut is really an introduction to the last point. The contrast is the Melech Evyon. The Melech Evyon is the destitute king, the impoverished king. As God is the Melech Elyon, so the Melech Elyon does not require us at all. We are an impoverished king. Strange. How could a king be impoverished? By definition, a king can't be impoverished. He's the Melech. If he's destitute, he's not a king. Evyon is the word. An Evyon is even poorer than an Ani. So if a king is an Evyon, who are his subjects? What's the answer? It's a, I don't know if it's a sarcastic phrase, but it's a sardonic phrase. Man is an Evyon, but he thinks he's a Melech. That's what the phrase means. Man is really an Evyon. He's impoverished. He's destitute. He really has nothing that's going to be real, that's going to endure past his lifetime. And yet, he thinks he's a Melech. This reinforces that our only true security lies in attaching ourselves to the Melech Elyon. And that's the task of all the Tfilos and the Yom Naron as well. How do we better link ourselves to the Melech Elyon? When the Sana Tokef has been discussed at length in the past, note, parenthetically, it's a later addition to the Machzor. Many Sardic communities to this day don't say it, because it was never part of their tradition. A friend of mine davened once in a Sardic minion and was shocked, horrified. They just skipped over it. It wasn't part of their minig. Of course, the vivid description of what the Emas Hadin is. I want to just move forward to V'chol Maminim. V'chol Maminim is also a responsive tefillah. All right? Ha'ochez b'yad midas mishpat. God grasps in his hand the attribute of justice. And we respond. Page 490. V'chol ma'minim shu'kel emuno. Everybody believes, acknowledges that he is kel emuno, the God of faithfulness. And that's how it goes. We sing it differently. We sing it, v'chol ma'minim, and then habochen uvodeg. But in fact, thematically, conceptually, what we're really saying is the Chazan should be articulating that God is habochein uvode ginzei nistaros, that God tests and examines ginzei nistaros, the hidden archives, the chom aminu shu bochein kloyos. Bochein kloyos follows bochein uvode. God is hagol mimoves ufode mishachas, and we state, the chom aminu shu goel chazok, he's a goel. If you look at the phrases, those are the ones that are matched. Not the way we sing it. I'm trying to change our great menhagim, but that's not the way we sing it. Hadon yechidi levoy olam, the Chazan proclaims. And we respond, yes. The chom aminu shu dayan emes. He's don yechidi, he's dayan emes. The chulei. All of these, again, are the yisodei hadas, and is really an expression of our humility, that this being, this creator, yet deigns to recognize us as well. He's Zochel Mazkirov Tovo Zichronos. One of the things that I'll point out, just so if it works out, I won't have to cringe on the Yom Noraim, but if you look, there's a reason why they do a nice job here in most of the cases of inserting the commas in the right place. So, for example, Hehogui Ve'ekya Sherekya. Ekya Sherekya, of course, is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name that God told Moshe to say when he returned to Egypt. So it's really Hehogui. Hehogui, the one whose name is expressed, Ve'ekya Sherekya. Not Hehogui Ve'ekya Sherekya, which sometimes you find it sung. It's Hehogui Ve'ekya Sherekya. Or you'll find, look further down, God is Hatov, he's good, he's an adjective. And he does good both for the wicked and for the good. So it's not hatov u'meitiv that we have in a bracha. It's hatov as an adjective. The statement of some attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then a verb. U'meitiv l'orom v'latovim. Well, you find it more towards the end also. Here's a biggie because this involves the kfira too. It's page 492. Halon v'seser b'tzel shakai. That God lodges in concealment, in shadow. Halon b'seiser b'tzeil is a phrase, as if we're saying Shakai, God, is the one who's long b'seiser b'tzel, not halong b'seiser b'tzel Shakai, because that is borderline kfira, that he dwells in secret, in a hidden place, in the shadow of God. There is no shadow of God. It's halong b'seiser b'tzel Shakai. B'tzel, comma, Shakai. Or hasovel, God is patient. Umalamayim yisorim. Ho'elyon, he's supreme. Ve'en ol yirayov. Or harachum, he's merciful. Umakdim rachim l'rogez. Hashover, he's unchanging. Umashvekotam agodol. You always have either the noun or the adjective, comma, and then followed by the verb, and subject, mashvekotam agodol. Atom, God is perfect. Umitamom imtimimim, he deals perfectly with the others as well. That is a beautiful piyut of the Chol Mamina. Finally, so the Chaim Tan Tachtach, we've also discussed in the past, but how could we walk away without saying something about the Yesoyu Chol of Decha, which of course returns us to the theme of Malchus. The Yesoyu Chol of Decha, that all will come to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You'll note that in the Bracha of Kedusha Sayom on Rosh Hashanah, and for that matter on Yom Kippur, it starts, if you look on page 508, reign over the entire universe in your glory. So what does that mean, reign? Meloch. Meloch is Lashon Tzivui. It's an imperative. You, God, reign over the entire universe. Didn't we just say in Shacharis, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Lolam Voed, Hashem Moloch, that God has reigned, Hashem Melech, he reigns now. So what does it mean, Meloch, reign, as if somehow there's a contrast between the situation now and the situation after Meloch? God is already the Melech. He doesn't need us to proclaim the Melech. He already is the Melech. So the answer is that this tefillah, Meloch HaKol HaOlam Kol B'Chodecha, as well as this tefillah of the Yesayu Chol of Decha, B'Baruch Hu Shem Po Decha, is a tefillah for the realization of the Malchus Hashem on earth. Indeed, God is Melech, but his Malchus is not apparent to all, and that is our fault. And that's why we say, Meloch HaKol HaOlam Kulo B'Chvodecha. God is Melech HaKol Aretz. So why then is it not recognized? That's why we say Aleinu. Because Aleinu is that tefillah in which we are mispalel that God's Malchus should extend all over the world, not end. Later on, the tefillah, the Malchus Hashem exists now, but it's not apparent. And that is our problem. That is defined as Chil Hashem, and that really is our job. So that in the language of the tefillah on 508, the Yovin Kol Yatzur Ki Ato Yitzarto, V'yomar Kol Hashem Hashem Aravah, everyone with a breath in his mouth will say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, U'malchuso B'kol Mashallah, that God, the God of Israel, is the king, and he reigns over all. Notice, it's not even enough for everyone to say that Hashem is Melech, but to say Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, because that's a different understanding of the Ratzon Hashem and the Midas Hashem in the world, Mais Hashem in the world. The Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, U'malchuso B'kol Mashallah. Beyond our needs, which are relatively petty by comparison, that's the goal of the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah. That we should somehow be vehicles or catalysts for the Malchus Hashem to become more apparent on earth. When we do that, everything else just falls into place. We're zochet to slicha, kapara, chayim, parnasa, shalom, etc. All that is very good. But the whole point is that we should become better avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we're better avodim, and we're able to move forward the propagation of the Malchus Hashem on earth, then in fact all our needs will be taken care of, naturally. Because it's in God's interest, so to speak, that he care for the needs of his faithful servants who are carrying out his will. So it's not in isolation that we ask for Chaim Tovim, Parnoso, Shalom, etc. It's not in isolation. Help me because, I don't know, because why? Help me, Laman Shmecha. help me, help all of us, because if we're able to act in such a way that people recognize Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech u'malchuso b'kol mashallah, so then the world is a better place. And then the Ratzon Hashem is fulfilled throughout mankind. And that really is the era, I'll say it's the era of Mashiach Tzidkenu, but in fact it could be the era which brings Mashiach Tzidkenu. That's the framework of our tefillos. To recognize our place in God's world, recognize Him as Melech, and understand how we can further the aims and goals of His Malchus in the universe, or at least on this planet, or better, in this community as a start, and in this country, and wherever Kal Yisrael is, and wherever we have influence over the rest of the world. That's the framework of the tefillah. That is an awesome task. It's a great responsibility, but in fact, it's a noble mission as well. That's the mission of Klal Yisrael, and every year we come on Rosh Hashanah, and it's not just that we get involved in our own needs and the Chatanu Pashanu. We measure ourselves as to how we have raised that banner, how we have upheld that standard of carrying the Malchus Hashem. Will we be more successful or less successful in the past year? If we're less successful, we pray in the coming year we'll be more successful, and thereby will be zochet all of the brachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the rightful province of His holy nation, both as a nation and as individuals. And ultimately, with that realization, we'll be zochet to see the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. Amen. I thank you all for coming, and I want to wish everyone a Ksiva v'chasima tova.